I invite you to take your Bible, please, and turn to Genesis 3. And we'll go back there today. And the verses that I'll focus on today are verses 7 through 15. So you can hold your Bible open there. We'll be referring to those verses this morning. Robert Goff was a 15-year-old young man who was a student in a Detroit, Michigan high school. He had made the junior Olympic team. He had qualified for that. And so that next day, what he was going to do was going to go and compete in that event. As a high school student and a young man who wanted to make some extra money, he picked up a part-time job at the hardware store. The owner of the store was a man by the name of Joseph Mersini. Joseph Mersini had loaned this young man money before. He had tried to help him between paydays to give him advancements and things. And what Robert knew was this, that Mr. Mersini always carried a pretty big satchel full of money with him. Well, on the day that he was going to leave to go for the trials, the night before that, he was watching TV, Robert was, and he started thinking about things. What he thought about was this: I really don't have the proper clothing to go to this event. Everybody else will be dressed in Nike and everything, and here I've just got my plain old clothes. And so he came up with this idea. And his idea was that he would go to the hardware store that night and wait until the early morning hours. And then when Mr. Mersini came in, he would just slip up behind him, knock him out, and take the money. Well, the plan was going accordingly. Mr. Mersini came in that early. Robert was already there, and he was hiding. And when he was going to sneak up on Mr. Mersini, something happened. His feet got tangled or something, Robert's feet, and it made a noise. Mr. Mersini turned around and said, "Robert, just take what I've got. I'll just give you the money." But Robert didn't do that. And he killed Mr. Mersini. He didn't know that he had killed him until the day after the Olympic trials. He just thought that he had injured him, but Mr. Mersini was taken to the hospital. Robert took the $67 out of his billfold, and that's all he had that day, was $67. He went on to participate in the Olympic trial, and he didn't do very well. He came in like fourth or fifth, and that's really not where he thought he'd be. He thought he'd be number one. Mr. Mersini died, but Robert didn't know about that. The case went unsolved. And I'll tell you later what happened with the case, but we'll talk about that later. I've titled this message today, "The Discovery Channel." I like watching Discovery Channel. I like watching History Channel. And so there are three discoveries that I've made in this chapter. So this is the discovery chapter. We've been in Genesis chapter 3 for some time, and I've tried to impress on all of us that this is probably one of the most important chapters in the Bible, and it is. We've talked about the origin of sin in this chapter, and we're going back and talk about some of that today. But what I don't want you to miss in this chapter is this. I don't want you to miss God in this chapter. Satan has a ploy that he uses that's very effective. And the two effective ploys that he uses most often is this. Number one, he gets us to underestimate his power. And the second ploy that he uses is that he gets us many times to overestimate his power. Now, Satan has power and Satan has strength. We know that. But we also know this, that God has greater power and God has greater strength. Does Satan have intelligence? Yes, he does. He's intelligent. He knows how to put the traps out there. He knows how to put the snares out there. He knows how to dangle the temptation before us. And he can do that. But you see, the thing that he cannot do is push us. He can't push us into the snare. He can't push us into the trap. He can't push us into the temptation, but he can dangle it out there. He has intelligence. He knows my struggles. He knows your struggles. He knows my weakness. He knows where to hit us. He knows that. He has that intelligence about him. But God has greater wisdom. And God has a greater way of looking at things. And we see that in this chapter. The three discoveries that we make in this chapter, first of all, is this. We discover the consequences of sin. The Bible tells us in these verses this morning that what Adam and Eve discovered was the consequences of their sin. Now, they were tempted with the forbidden fruit. Whether it was an apple or not, we don't know what it was, but you know, that wasn't the sin. The sin wasn't the temptation. The sin was when they took whatever the forbidden fruit was and they ate that. But what they learned by that action is what we all learn. We learn the consequences of sin. Separation from God is what they experienced. They experienced shame. They experienced guilt. And those are the consequences that we all experience when we sin. Now, the thing here that you see, the Bible tells us that Adam and Eve would have fellowship with God in the garden. That they would walk together and talk together. Now, we don't know how long after the 7 days of creation that this event took place. Some think it was pretty soon. Some think it was maybe longer, but we don't know. But we certainly know this, that this is a historical event recorded to us in the Bible. This is an account of how sin came into the world. What we're talking about today in this story, though, is the consequences of the disobedience against God. We don't know what form God appeared to Adam and Eve. We don't know. But what we do know is that they had conversation together. They had fellowship together. They had communication together. The Bible says that he came and cooled the day. Most Bible scholars believe that was late evening, before the setting of the sun and the coolness of the evening. That's probably the time when God came to communicate with them. On this day, though, Adam and Eve discovered something different. They discovered what Satan knew, that things would never be the same again. There was this separation between God and Adam and Eve. They had not experienced that before. You see, the real consequences of sin is that it separates us from God. My sin breaks the heart of God. The Bible tells us that sin is what creates that separation and fellowship and relationship with God. But the Bible also tells us in this story that what happens is that we experience shame because we know the action of disobedience is wrong. They understood that they did the wrong thing. And then the Bible also talks about the nakedness there. And they realized there that things were different. In other words, things were different than they were before. And so you see here the consequences of sin. What I want to focus in on now, though, secondly, is this. I want to focus in on the second thing we discover. And that is the love and grace of God. And you see it here in this story in a beautiful way. Many times we concentrate on the temptation. We concentrate on the work of Satan and what he did and all that. And that's important in this chapter. But what I don't want you to miss, though, is God. I want you to see the grace and love of God in this story. The Bible tells us that God came to the garden. We don't know the physical location of the garden. It was here on this earth. Many people think, archaeologists, the Bible scholars believe, that it was between the Tigris and Euphrates River, located in the Middle East. In other words, somewhere in Iraq or Iran is where they believe the Garden of Eden was. But it was a physical location. God came. He's walking. And so on this day, though, what was different, though, Adam and Eve wasn't there. They were somewhere in the garden, but the Bible says that they were hiding from God. Why were they hiding from God? Because they realized the separation. They realized the shame. And they realize the guilt. Why is it that people try to hide from God? Because that is something we cannot do. We cannot hide from God. You know, the atheists try to hide from God by saying that there is no God. Self-righteous people try to hide from God in saying, well, I can get to heaven on my own. I don't need God to get to heaven. In our culture today, there's you know, a lot of people hide from God in our culture today by redefining God. In other words, they make God the God that they want Him to be. Lovey-dovey, no judgment, no consequences. It doesn't matter what you believe. As long as you believe, as long as you're sincere, you're going to get to heaven. And, you know, people redefine God in that way, that everybody's going to go to heaven and that's just how it's going to be. And then I think others try to hide from God by just indifference. There's just an indifference about the Bible. There's indifference about a relationship with God, and people try to hide from God that way. So there's many ways that people try to hide from God. Adam and Eve were trying to do something that they could not do. They were trying to hide from God. And so I want you to see the questions here that we see in verses 7 through 13. In verse 8, the Bible tells us that God came seeking Adam and Eve. You know what that tells me? We have a God of love, and we have a God of grace. Right here, for the first time in the Bible, we see a seeking God. The Bible tells us in the New Testament that He came to seek and save those who are lost. In the parables in Luke 15, there is the lost sheep, there's the lost corn, there's the lost son. And in all those parables, you know what the emphasis is on? That God takes the initiative in coming to where we are. He came to where we are, to where we could not go, to take us where we could not go. He came to us. He came to us in our sin, in our disobedience. He came to us in grace. He came to us in love. Now, the questions here are important, because what you see here is what God is doing with these questions. Verse 9, the question is, where are you? God is not trying to drive them away with this question, but what God is doing is trying to pull them to Himself, to bring them to Him. And so in this question, where are you, Adam really didn't answer God's question. Eve didn't answer the question. What they started doing so many times is the same thing we do. You know, started making excuses. for the disobedience. And they tried to explain it away and things like that. But the question here is a question for all of us. Where are you? This is a spiritual question. It is a spiritual question that God is not only asking Adam and Eve, but He's asking all of us. Where are you in your relationship with Me? Adam and Eve knew that something had happened with that relationship. They knew that something wasn't right. And so, God is asking us, where are you? I'm asking you today, where are you in your relationship with God? Another question that is asked here in this story is in verse 11. Who told you that you were naked? Do you see it there? You know what the answer is? Nobody. Nobody had to tell them. Why? Because they had realized the consequences of their sin. You know, there's a cost to disobedience in our lives. There really is. There's a cost to separation from God because we desire that fellowship with Him, and that, and the Bible says God has put eternity in our hearts. That means this, that we all have a desire for God and we want to know Him. But you see what happens so many times is rather than to come face to face with God, we try to hide just like Adam and Eve did. What God is asking in these questions is this. He's wanting them to be truthful. He's wanting them to come face and face with Him and just, you know, lay it out on the table here, get the facts out there, and tell me what's going on. Who told you that you're naked? Well, the answer was, nobody told us that. It's something we knew. And so you see, what God is wanting here is honesty. And then what He wants from all of us is honesty. He doesn't want us to hide. He doesn't want us to make excuses. He just wants us to be honest with Him. We all have our struggles. We all have our downfalls. We all have those things that we get caught up in. God just wants us to be honest with Him. Now, where do you see the grace and love of God in this? Here's where you see it. The Bible says if we are honest and truthful and we lay it out on the table of God, you know what that is? That is confession. And what we see in the grace and love of God is His forgiveness. You see, that's what He wanted from Adam and Eve here. He just wanted them to be honest. He wanted them to just, you know, lay it there and say, here it is. Here's where it's at. But they didn't do that. And then again, you see His grace and love in these questions. Verse 11 again, have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not? Did God not know what they did, folks? I mean, God knows everything, doesn't He? But in this question again, you know, He's pulling Adam and Eve to Himself. Come to Me. Come to Me with this struggle. Come to Me with this disobedience. Come to Me with this separation. Let's get things right. Let's get this thing made right again. And then verse 13. What have you done? What have you done? You see, that's God's question for us. What have you done? Why is our relationship different? Why is it like, it's not like it used to be? What have you done? What's created this disconnect between Me and you? You see, that's the spiritual questions here in this story. But what they wanted to do at all cost was to avoid God. See, they're trying to avoid God. Again, that's something we can't do. And so, you know, what it costs us is, you know, when we try to avoid God, it'll cost us sleep. The Bible tells us that there's Holy Spirit conviction. So, you know, that conviction, you know, it'll work on us. But also, it'll cost that sweet fellowship that we have with Him. But the way that's restored, though, is just, you know, come to Him, ask forgiveness, And, you know, we find it restored. I mean, that's what he wants. He doesn't want us to run from him. He doesn't want us to hide from him. He is a loving God. He's a God of grace. And he wants us to come to him and just get these things right. That's what he wants. God wasn't asking these questions for information because he already knows. He knows about you. He knows about me. He knows exactly where we are. And he knows exactly what we need to do. Okay? And then the third discovery here in verse 14 and 15 is the eternal plan of God that's revealed. Look at it in verse 15. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. God is talking to Satan here. This verse here, the importance of this verse is this. This is the first gospel that you find in the Bible. This is the good news. This is a prophecy of the death of Jesus Christ on the cross. Here is where the eternal plan of God is revealed. God knew what Adam and Eve would do in the garden. It didn't take him by surprise, but in eternity past, he had a plan. And the plan was that Jesus Christ would come and die on the cross for our sins. Where do we find forgiveness of guilt, forgiveness of shame, forgiveness of disobedience? Where is this separation brought back together? At the cross of Jesus Christ. God had a plan. So here's what he says. On the cross, here's what's going to happen. Well, back up in verse 15. Before the cross, what he's talking about is this conflict between you and the woman. Between your seed and her seed. Conflict. All the things and, you know, all the trouble that we have in the world today. All the conflict that we experience. All the stuff that gets out of whack. All the hard feelings. All the broken relationships. All the troubles in life. That's the struggle that he's talking about. There is an enemy, and that enemy is real, and he is Satan. So there's real stuff. There's going to be a struggle, is what he says. But on the cross, here's what's going to happen. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Now what's that talking about? Here's what it's talking about. On the cross, the heel of Jesus was bruised. He suffered crucifixion. He suffered the shame. He suffered the pain. He went through the beatings and all that. You know, Satan thought that he had the battle won there. Okay? I'll just, you know, he'll go to the cross, he'll die, that'll be it. But see, on the cross, what happened was this. Because of the cross and resurrection, then what the Lord did was to crush the head of Satan. Folks, he is a defeated foe. Why do we say that we can have forgiveness of sin? Because Jesus Christ has won the victory for us. Why do we have victory over guilt, victory over shame? Why is it that we can have a relationship with God? Because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is the good news. It is the death, burial, and crucifixion of Christ. It is the resurrection of Jesus Christ that gives us the hope. That is the hope of the gospel. That we who were sometimes afar off can be brought nigh. That even though that we were yet sinners, Christ died for us in our sin. And because of that, then we are brought back together when we believe in Him and when we confess Him as our Savior. That's the eternal plan of God. That's why Genesis chapter 3 is so important. In Genesis chapter 3, this plan begins to unveil. And you see it when it is all complete in the book of Revelation. And everything is put back together like it was in the Garden of Eden. I started this sermon today with a story about Robert. Let's go back to that story now. He was 15 years old when he committed that murder. The murder went unsolved for 15 years. It went unsolved. Nobody knew what had happened except Robert in that hardware store. 15 years later, he showed up at the police station. He was age 30, and he goes to the police department in Detroit, and he confessed this 15-year-old murder. He was convicted of the crime, sent to prison. He didn't spend, you know, a lifetime in prison. He got out after a number of years. But here's what he said. My time in prison was easy compared to the 15 years that I lived with that guilt in my mind. Nothing they could ever do to me could measure up to the imprisonment of my own guilt during the 15 years of hiding my sin. Adam and Eve couldn't live with the guilt. They eventually had to come honest with God. And when they did, the Bible tells us what God did was to provide a way for the relationship to be restored. If you read on in Genesis chapter 3, you find that God killed an animal. And the Bible says that He provided skin for their covering. Many people believe that was a lamb that was slain. What did that foretell? The death of the Lamb of God who died on the cross for us. So Jesus Christ provided a covering for our sin. Is there forgiveness of guilt? Can it be carried off? It certainly can. Can the shame be gone? Yes. Can we have forgiveness of sin? Yes, we can. And that's found in the person of Jesus Christ. No one has to carry that guilt because He carried it to the cross for us. Let's stand for our prayer. Father, we thank You today for Your Word. We thank You for the great discoveries of this chapter. We've discovered going through this chapter that there are consequences to sin. We understand that. We discover in this great chapter Your grace and Your love. But we also discover Your eternal plan. This plan that was before the foundation of the world, as the Bible says. The plan that brought salvation to each and every one of us. The plan that saves us. The plan that gives us forgiveness of sin. And that is the cross of Jesus Christ. But we have to believe. We have to come to You. Father, I pray for those today who are carrying that guilt and load. I pray today that they would come to the cross of Jesus Christ. I pray that they would come to You today and have that burden lifted. I pray that they would come today and put faith and trust in You. That they would leave here today with a relationship with You. Lord, today we thank You for the answer that You give us. And the answer is found at the cross. Father, as believers today, we just need to be honest with You. We need to claim 1 John 1:9 that if we confess our sin, that You're faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Father, I pray that You'd restore the joy that is lost. I pray that You'd give peace to the hearts that trouble. Father, just help us, Lord, to be honest with You today. Do exactly what You want us to do during this invitation time. For it's in Your name we pray. Amen.